So I'm going to stay up here and introduce Matt Ritter. Matt is our vice chair at USU Walter Reed for Education. And Matt was really started this off because as he was getting his master's in health professional education and part of the team that developed fundamentals of laparoscopic surgery, he came back with this educational blueprinting approach. And that was coupled with the recognition of the risk of critical skills, and that really got us started. So in many ways, Matt is a plank owner in this process, and he'll talk about the educational aspects of assessing knowledge.
Thanks, Eric and Peggy, for inviting me to speak here, and for all of you guys for being here. For disclosures, I do get some royalties for a simulation platform I helped develop through Henry Jackson, but that does not relate to this talk in any way, shape, or form, and these are my own views. So a little bit of an overview. You heard a lot about expeditionary KSAs. We'll touch on that a little bit, and then walk through the process that we've gone through in a little bit more granular detail to develop one of the assessments in the overarching program that Eric highlighted so nicely over the past few minutes. You've heard our charge here, and this was really the driving force to capture this knowledge as the current conflicts wound down and be able to not only teach them but measure them, to answer the important question of how do we know when somebody's ready to go into the expeditionary environment and have the skill set to perform well. So in any management textbook, you get this concept that comes out, right? You can't manage it if you don't measure it. So from my background in medical education measurement, as Eric said, as this problem kind of came up and we were talking about it, I said, I think we have a good framework to start down this pathway. So there's a publication, a consensus conference on good measurement in health professions education. And I've highlighted some of the key pieces here. So proceeding from a clear content blueprint, the KSA piece, and what I'll describe later, is really establishing this blueprint that not only sets the stage for building assessments, but also allows you to align curricula. And that blueprint piece is really what drives the pathway for both the education and the measurement piece. That's the second highlighted bullet. And then the third is really focusing on the impact. And the impact is to drive folks through measurement to knowing what they need to know and being able to do what they need to do. So we wanted to maintain these core principles through this development process. This is a conceptual framework that's very ubiquitous in measurement and medical education. It's George Miller's pyramid. And this relates different levels of assessment. And the core piece of this is really here. So, you know things, you know how to do things, you show that you can do them, and then you actually do them in workplace assessment. You see the KSAs, how they kind of span all these levels. In the measurement system that I'm going to talk about, and then Travis and Joe will have, and Eric have all these components. So multiple choice question assessments fit at this knows and knows how level, right? It's the bulk of assessment that we do in medical education. It can cover a lot of ground relatively cost effectively. Things that need to be measured higher at the shows level, can you demonstrate some of these skills that don't happen often in the clinical environment? So that was, Eric touched on that with respect to decompressive craniectomy or fasciotomy, some of those things that you need to know, you need to show that you can do them, but it's going to be very difficult to manage to measure in a workplace assessment system. And then finally, at the does level, the KSA metric that Eric nicely outlined is really a very reasonable measure at this level. So it's true workplace assessment. Now it's at a fairly high altitude. It's not necessarily watching you perform a individual operation, but it does give you some measurement of the impact of what we do every day in the workplace defining and preparing us to deploy. So this framework is really going to drive what I talk about and then what follows. So what I'm going to focus the rest of the talk just on this MCQ, this knows and knows how level and how we've gone through that process. So here's some other frameworks that we used. So in terms of how to organize the knowledge required in the expeditionary environment, we used a framework of, you know, this area down here is essentially the CPGs with some other key references. So this is kind of the knowledge framework. We passed that essentially through the filter of the ACGME core competencies. So anybody familiar with GME, you know, these are six competencies, you know, meant to represent major domains of a competent individual, right? And then we used the output of this to inform this, the red square is essentially the test development process. And when we first started talking about this, we were, you know, up here at step two or three, and we're actually all the way down to 12 pretty much right now, which is fantastic. So I keep getting to make that red box a little bigger every time we talk about this. So it's been great. So I will show you kind of conceptually what this looks like and then how we've operationalized it. So it all started about 2 years ago with just shy of 20 surgeons. And all of the stuff in this process is very critical. In the initial steps of test development, the folks in the room really drive the what we would call content validity evidence. So you have to make sure you have the right mix of folks. So we, as Eric said, we have made sure to socialize it, make it try service, make it collaborative. We also didn't want it to be an assessment of trauma surgery. So it, you know, and we consciously use this concept of expeditionary surgery, because most of us that are, you know, I'm a minimally invasive surgeon, so I don't really like it when my gloves get bloody, but I do have to deploy and take care of folks. So we have to understand that we are representing a broader community. And then through our partnership with the college, we're able to bring on some assistance of a test development professional, Sarah Hennings, which many of you have worked with, to drive this process. Here's a picture from, we spent about a week of hard work to really generate this initial inventory. We started with specifications for this exam, and this is not only for the MCQ exam, but these type of specifications kind of drive the conceptual framework of all these assessments. So went through robust discussions on all of these types of questions. Came to some consensus, you know, so these are things to that can do without assistance. These are things that may require, you know, that you would expect the person to do with some guidance, you know, things like the military working dog, et cetera. And these were all hashed out in that group to generate a shared mental model of what the ready expeditionary general surgeon looks like. So graphically, what it would kind of look like is this. If this blue circle represents the competent expeditionary surgeon. You lay the ACGME core competencies on there, and you end up sampling most of that through medical knowledge, professionalism, etc. And then we go through the process of going through the CPGs and picking out pieces in that knowledge framework that map to the different competencies. So over time, you know, this process takes hours and hours. You end up populating a list of tasks is what it's kind of known as in test development that correlate with the measurement of this competent expeditionary surgeon. All right, so what that looked like is going over the CPGs, pulling out important points, listing these by, you can kind of see the competencies here. We put knowledge and patient care together, PBLI, systems-based practice, et cetera. And then each person or team would come present that to the group. We would hash it out. We would tweak it. And then these items populate what we call a task inventory. Okay. And Eric referenced this initially. We organize these by kind of major and minor domains. So we basically have, eight big domains and 46 subdomains. And initially, somewhere near 500 individual items or tasks that generated from that process. Next step is to help sort through those, right? Because when you go through a process like that, you want to be very inclusive so you don't miss anything important, but it when you do that, you include a lot of stuff that may not be super pertinent. So we generated what's called a task inventory questionnaire. Eric referenced this in his talk, where we measure the frequency, so how often were these knowledge, skills, or abilities required in a deployed environment, and how significant folks felt. And the point of this is to cast this out to a much broader group of folks within the same domain, so military expeditionary surgeons who have deployed, and get their opinion on what this smaller group has generated as work product. So we sent out a bunch of requests and got a reasonable amount of responses from an experienced group. And what we did is essentially flag any of the task items from the KSA list that had a frequency, a mean frequency or significance score of less than 2, right? So that roughly indicated from a frequency, it happened less than once a month, and that the majority of folks felt on the significance, it was between marginally significant and significant. So these were the ones we wanted to relook at. We met and reviewed all of these 350. We kept 160 that we thought were important. Usually those were ones that just fell out in frequency. And then either excluded or reorganized the others. And ended up with a total of 406. So we eliminated a little over 60 of those through this blueprint weighting process. So this goes down to 406, same organization, same number of subdomains. What that would look like graphically is something like this. So the importance and the weighting would make some of the circles bigger, some of the circles smaller. And then if you throw assessment on top of it, you know, the items with a K would be measurable, and this is all hypothetical. These would be measurable with something like an MCQ exam. The things with the S might require a simulation or a shows how level, and the D would be workplace assessment or KSA metric stuff, so that you mapped assessment methods to all of these important areas at a level that's appropriate for their management. And a good example of that would be if one of the required tasks is to perform a fasciotomy, you can't measure that verb perform on an MCQ exam, right? You have to actually perform it either in simulation or in clinical practice. So what does this look like as we move towards building the exam? So this is the actual blueprint for the MCQ exam. You see the domains here. In blue here is essentially the percent of questions that correspond to each domain. And I feel like that rings pretty true in terms of what we see when deployed in terms of injury pattern, et cetera. So I think this fell out exactly like you would think it would. Each version of the exam has 200 questions because this has been designed to be high reliability, so that real inferences can be made on the performance on this exam. And then when you create multiple versions of exam, you got to make sure you have some common items between the forms so that you can compare them and they'll perform similarly. So you see the number of common items broken down by domain there. So that was kind of the real design of the two versions of the exam. Folks up here and many in the audience spent a lot of time writing over 600 items. A lot of work goes into taking 600 into 400 approved items. And that's a lot of individual work and a lot of group work to tweak the questions to be as clear and clearly focused on the piece of the blueprint that they're supposed to measure as they can. And you see those shared items there. Eric mentioned we chose an online delivery system that has already had some experience in military systems. All program directors deal with ITS for the AB site, so we knew there was a precedent there for getting that IT system through our firewalls. So what it looks like is this. You get a link, you log on seamlessly, you get this start page. And in this early phase where we're doing beta testing, as Eric said, about 50 folks are currently going through this, we're still collecting information to contribute to the validity evidence of this. So we collect a fair number of demographics. This is an example of deployment history and things we collect. So we will look at the correlations between this experience and performance, et cetera, as the exam moves forward. And then additionally, one thing you don't see in a whole lot of exams once they go live is there's the ability to, for folks, as they take the questions, to write comments about appropriateness or suggestions to change it, and we've gotten pretty robust participation on this of the folks so far. And if any of you in the audience are signed up to do this, please be as inclusive as possible of comments and feedback, because that's exactly what we want at this phase of rolling this out before we fully operationalize it. At the end, you get a score report, very similar to other standardized exams that you've taken, that breaks down by domain and percent correct. And this will eventually obviously be used to feedback into additional training or areas of emphasis or focus if there's one area that's deficient while the others are fine. And the benefit to us as surgeons is, number one, if you're good on all this, you save some extra time away from your family doing training you don't need. And if you're weak on one of these areas, you can really focus on that and use your time well, rather than having a one-size-fits-none training pathway that has happened variably in the past. So in summary, where are we on this project? So we're done with this part. At least for phase one, for building two 200-item MCQs based on the weighted blueprint. We've operationalized this through a partnership with the college, and we're getting feedback and item performance metrics we're actually going to review some of that later this morning. And in longer term, and this is in terms of months at this point, we have to kind of do some of the back-end stuff for exams, so set a pass-fail-cut score. In terms of the overall exam and then potentially each domain, and analyze the validity evidence. How's the exam performing? How well does it correlate with things you would think it would correlate with and not correlate with other things, et cetera? And then once we work through that in round one, more widely implement this over the next month or years. So I'll stop there, and then we're going to do questions at the end. Thank you very much.